day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Building Systems of Care Improved Child Welfare Outcomes. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. If anyone should require assistance during the conference, please press star then zero on your touchtone telephone. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to introduce your host for today, Mary O'Brien. Ma'am, you may begin.
Thank you. Hello, everyone, and on behalf of the National Child Welfare Resource Center for Organizational Improvement, I want to welcome you to today's teleconference on Building Systems of Care to Improve Child Welfare Outcomes. I'm going to be turning this over to Steve Preister, who's the Associate Director of the National Resource Center, who will moderate today's call. But I'm going to start by just giving you an idea of who's on the line today. We're very pleased to have with us a group of people to speak on this topic. We have Sheila Pyres, who's a partner with the Human Service Collaborative, and Catherine Lazar from the University of South Florida, and Lisa Conlin from the Federation of Families for Children's Mental Health. These three work together on the primer hands-on child welfare resource that we're going to be hearing a lot about today in today's call. We also have with us someone from North Carolina who's going to speak about how North Carolina is implementing a system of care. We have Rebecca Huffman, who's a program manager for the regional training centers as part of the staff development team for the North Carolina Department of Social Services. Thank you all for being here. We also have a lot of people registered for today's call. We expect that we'll have representatives from over 30 states and county child welfare agencies on the line. Lots of folks from child welfare agencies. We also have representatives from our ACF regional offices. And many provider organizations have also registered for today's call, and universities, important partners in this work, and other national organizations. So we want to welcome all of you to today's call. As the operator said, right now the lines are closed so that we won't have a lot of background noise while we're doing presentations. But Steve Preister, who's moderating, will open the lines a few times throughout the call for questions. So we really do want this to be interactive. So try to note down any questions or comments that you have. We'd love to hear from you. If you're having any trouble while you're on the hold situation, you can, as the operator said, push star zero on your phone, and that will get you an operator to help you. Before we begin, I wanted to point out that there are handouts for today's call that have been posted on our website. The email that you got with the phone number to call in on had the link to that website, and I'm going to give it to you now as well, just in case you haven't looked them up already and you're at a computer or you'd like to do that later. The website where the handouts are is www.nrcoi, as in National Resource Center for Organizational Improvement, .org. So www.nrcoi.org. If you click on teleconferences and look under the date, you'll find the handouts for today's call. We have a document that's agenda and contact information for contact information for today's speakers. And there's two PowerPoints that our presenters will be using. One is Building Systems of Care. That will be the one that Sheila and Catherine and Lisa will be using. And then there's another one from North Carolina that Rebecca Huffman will be using when she's talking. So we'd encourage you to, pull those up, or hopefully you have those in front of you, or you can look at them afterwards, after the call. We also posted there as a handout a document called Primer Hands-on Child Welfare Table of Contents, and this is a detailed breakdown of what is in each module of the Primer Hands-on Child Welfare resource that our presenters will be talking about. All of the Primer Hands-on Child Welfare material is also available on our website, so right with those handouts, we've put the link to the page where you can get all of the documents from our website. Before we begin, I also want to tell you that the National Child Welfare Resource Center for Organizational Improvement puts out a newsletter called Child Welfare Matters, and the next issue of that newsletter will be on systems of care, and we expect to have it approved and up on our website soon, so you could be looking for that. So I think that's it in terms of logistics, so I'm going to turn it over to Steve to begin.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm very happy to that you could all join us to talk about this very important topic. Today, Child welfare agencies around the country are exploring using systems of care approach as a way to reform their child welfare systems and to get better outcomes for children, youth, and families. And so that's why our teleconference today is so timely. And that's also why our resource center, the National Resource Center for Organizational Improvement, over the last 2 years has been working with Sheila Pires and Kathy Lazier and Lisa Conlon to develop a resource for child welfare to help states and tribes and other jurisdictions systematically implement a system of care approach. So I'm going to turn this now over to Sheila and Kathy Lazier and Lisa Conlon to talk about the resource that they have been working on for 2 years and is finalized now and on our website, and to give you really a picture of the content that is in the resource. So you want to take it over, Sheila?
Okay, thanks very much, Steve. This is Sheila Pires, and good afternoon to everyone. We're going to talk about two resources, primarily the web-based Primer Hands-On Child Welfare Training and Technical Assistance materials. And this is something, as Steve noted, that the National Resource Center on Organizational Improvement and the Georgetown University National Technical Assistance Center for Children's Mental Health partnered in sponsoring. And the Primer Hands-On Child Welfare web-based materials include a skill-building curriculum that's based on Building Systems of Care, a primer, and includes not only the curriculum but case scenarios, exercises, handouts, over 200 PowerPoint slides, and it's really designed to be used in a combination of training and or technical assistance by states, counties, technical assistance centers, and also the training itself is designed to create a network for peer support and technical assistance around system of care concepts in child welfare. The other resource is a companion document, which is a new publication that will be available next month. It's Building Systems of Care, a Primer for Child Welfare, and it really is meant to serve as a monograph companion document to the web-based training resources. Our talk today is going to be primarily geared toward the web-based training resources, what's in them, and how to access them and how to use them. So if you're following along in handouts, we're going to walk through each of the modules. We obviously don't have enough time to go into a great deal of content, but we want to give you at least an overview of each of the modules and what's in it. So beginning with Module 1, it lays out the purpose and organization of the web-based materials and the strategic framework that underpins the training materials, because building systems of care is inherently a strategic process. The objectives are to build on the knowledge base and skills that people already bring to this work, because states and communities are in various stages of building systems of care, to give system of care builders and leaders teaching tools that you can use back in your own states and communities. So, for example, the PowerPoint slides, you can use any or all of them with different groups of stakeholders, both around orientation to system of care concepts or around more discrete technical assistance on areas such as financing systems of care, for example. And then finally, another objective is to build a network of individuals that are grounded in this common system of care strategic framework. So the way to use these materials, and as Mary said, there's an outline of them not only in the handouts that you have for this call, but on NRCOI's website, is you can use the materials to do an intensive 2-day training, which is what the entire Hello? No?
Family Support and Child Welfare Services.
Melissa, can you mute that line?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. I'm trying to locate that now.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Sheila.
That's okay, Steve. I'm glad it wasn't my phone. anyhow, as the full training would be an intensive two-day training, and it is very intensive. But you could also do separate training sessions using individual modules. So, for example, you could do an individual training just around engaging family members in a system of care approach. And then you can use pieces for discrete technical assistance. So different ways of using the training materials. Now moving into what's actually in the content of the web-based resource, Module 2 is... It's an important context-setting module that reviews the history of systems of care, how they came about, the underlying values and principles, and operational characteristics. So systems of care developed over 20 years ago and really came initially out of the children's mental health movement, recognizing that children with serious behavioral health problems and their families are involved or at risk for involvement in multiple systems, and of course that includes many children and families involved in child welfare. And system of care has evolved over time so that now system of care is being used as an organizing framework or approach to systemic reform by many children's systems and as well as adult populations more recently. So we review in Module 2 the history, the background, the resonance between system of care values and child and family service review values and systemic factors. So we really see system of care as a way to approach some of the issues that have surfaced as a result of the child and family services reviews and some of the outcomes that states are trying to achieve through their program improvement plans. There are, of course, a number of values and principles like more coordinated systems and family-driven and youth-guided and culturally linguistically competent. One of the things that we touch upon in Module 2, which Lisa's going to speak just a little bit about, and then go into more detail in the later module, is the issue of family engagement, particularly engagement of families involved in child welfare who may not necessarily be voluntarily involved. And Lisa, I didn't know if you wanted to say a few words about that at this point.
Sure. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Lisa Conlin. Just to build on what Sheila is saying, I bring the family perspective to the team, and the curriculum really integrates the family perspective throughout the 2 days. And as a core to that, especially, is around family-centered practice, so really getting deeply into that positive engagement, how to build family engagement at all levels within the system of care, how do you really link families up to community networks of actual family support and youth leadership itself, to even begin into how do you have families be able to get access to the information and really be part of leading their care planning process, to even having families get involved and youth involved in your quality assurance or your whole child and family service review process itself. And we'll talk more a little about that as we go, just to share, but we go much deeper into that, into the modules and the curriculum.
This is Sheila again, and another thing we address in this module is that systems of care take a population focus. That is, they don't begin by talking about how can we reform a given system like child welfare or mental health or juvenile justice, but who are the populations of children and families that we're concerned about and that we want to try to create better outcomes for. We also talk in this module about the importance of evidence-based and promising practices in integrating those into systems of care. And we talk about a number of evidence-based and promising practices in the world of child welfare itself. Okay, moving on to Module 3. In this module, we talk about how building systems of care involves both process, that's who's involved and how they're involved, and structure, what gets built or rebuilt. We review many of the functions that need to be organized or structured in systems of care, and things like care management and governance or decision-making at a policy level, system management, et cetera. And we then talk about effective system-building processes. And throughout all of the training, by the way, we also use concrete examples to illustrate a number of the points that we're making from existing systems of care that are developing at state and local levels with respect to child welfare, to children and families involved in child welfare, along with other systems. Module 4 is one where we spend time talking about what we call cross-cutting or non-negotiable characteristics, and in particular family and youth partnership and cultural and linguistic competence. Not that we want to see those divorced from the other modules, so we integrate them throughout the training, but also spend a little bit of time in Module 4 talking about them discreetly as well. Lisa and Kathy, I think, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
From looking at it from a family perspective, we really help to have the group work through really beginning to understand how you can have family and youth involvement at all levels. So thinking of youth and family involvement at a policy and planning level and really being part of that process, to families really being engaged and being part of their care planning process at an individual child and family level, to really even creative roles that are now starting to emerge where families and youth are actually becoming part of the peer support and provider world. So we really give some good concrete examples of that. We talk about the role of family organizations or youth group and organizations that can help build and cultivate that leadership and support.
Good afternoon. This is Kathy Lazier, and I'm bringing the culture and linguistic competence lens to the primer. One of the things that happens in Module 4 also is a discussion, and it's part of an exercise, but the discussion is very important in this section. Really, it allows people time to express their own views, so it's a very important part, and if you have it in front of you, you can see it's an exercise called Attitudes Towards Family, Youth, and Culture. The primer hands-on really integrates concepts and examples of cultural and linguistic competence throughout every section of the curriculum rather than just having standalone sections. We spend some time looking at cultural and linguistic competence at an individual level, an organizational level, and even at the societal level. And we really look at how different communities are addressing issues around disparity and disproportionality in child welfare. We also talk throughout the curriculum, as Sheila said earlier, how to operationalize cultural and linguistic competence at all levels, rather than it being some abstract concept, you know, to talking about how folks and communities are actually doing it.
It's probably important to point out that the primer hands-on training incorporates several different approaches. It includes didactic, you know, sort of teaching, talking to people to illustrate content and points using lots of examples. But it also incorporates exercises, as Kathy just mentioned, this is one of them, that give participants an opportunity to sort of reflect and explore some of the issues that we're raising. And then it also incorporates teamwork, and we, as part of the materials of the training curriculum, there are three fictitious case scenarios, one urban, one rural, and one suburban, that describe different communities and what's going on at a point in time in their development or interest in developing a system of care around children that are involved with or at risk for involvement in child welfare systems. And we assign participants in the training, this is the two-day training, the intensive one, to each of those communities. And they then have an opportunity to work over the course of the 2 days in teams as if they were from those communities to wrestle with some of these system of care process and structural issues. So modules 5 through the remaining begin to shift from contextual information and making sure everyone has the same basic understanding of the history and definitions and values of systems of care, to beginning to look at the functions that need to be organized within systems of care. And we begin with planning, which is typically where states and communities begin, and structuring some type of ongoing planning process that crosses systems, that engages family members and other key stakeholders such as judges and child welfare workers and supervisors and you know, probation workers and clinicians, et cetera, in a common planning process around populations of children involved in child welfare, either all of them or subsets, because you could be building a system of care initially around, for example, youth that are transitioning out of foster care, or you may be focusing on infants and toddlers, or you may be focusing on all children and families that are in or at risk for child welfare involvement. But a planning process is typically what gets structured first. We then move to the function of governance, which is decision-making at a policy level, which often needs structure at both state and county and or regional levels, depending upon how your child welfare system is structured. We move then to various system management structures, in particular how you create a locus of management accountability for populations of children that are involved in multiple systems. Because one of the premises of a system of care is that if everyone is accountable, then really no one is. So how do you create that locus of accountability? And we give lots of different examples of how to do that and how various states and communities are in the process of doing that for different populations of children involved in child welfare and their families. Lisa, did you want to say just a little bit about involvement of families and youth at those levels?
Yeah, I think, you know, what we spend a lot of time on and a lot of dialogue goes around this, especially as it gets into the teamwork, is really thinking about at a planning level, you know, especially it's a shift in many times as you're building system of care from where families have been very engaged within their own planning process to really bringing their family and youth involvement up to those other levels. So that does take training around family professional partnership. You may be starting with focus groups with families and youth to really then thinking about how do we really include at a governance level families and youth really participating and being on those to actually being part of hiring, looking at budgets, looking at utilization review, and that. So we really start to give some examples where that is working well and how you can really begin to bring that to life in your communities.
We also, this is Kathy, we also spend some time looking at some of the structures and how you really need to have someone who's paying attention to the cultural and linguistic competence aspect. And a lot of communities do it through committees, different groups, but and we give a lot of examples of how cultural linguistic competence is structured throughout that governance and system management level, again, providing examples of how they do it. In terms of addressing issues in terms of hiring, looking at facilities, providing training and, you know, trauma-informed care, looking at providers, so a number of different aspects of system building that need to be planned. And what we say really is that the cultural linguistic competence then doesn't just happen automatically. It really needs to be very well planned out.
So this is Sheila again. At the end of Module 5, which covered the functions of planning, governance, and system management, we have the first team meeting where participants go off and wrestle with a number of questions that are also part of the curriculum around these functions and how they're structured or might need to be structured within their fictitious case scenarios, which reflect their systems of care. And the purpose of those fictitious case scenarios is it gives people an opportunity to step outside of their day-to-day real lives and to sort of think creatively around concepts that hopefully then they can take back with them into their real worlds. Module 6 has to do with a number of additional functions, outreach and engagement, organizing pathways into services and supports, and while, of course, we talk about how the pathway into services for many families involved in child welfare may be through the courts, that even that being said, families involved in child welfare, and certainly those at risk, also need an organized pathway into services and supports because they may be under court order or child welfare system service plans, both for themselves as adult family members as well as for their children. And trying to organize all of that can sometimes be very daunting for family members. And by family members, we define family very broadly as birth families, foster families, kinship families, guardian families, however families themselves define themselves. We talk about that as well in some of the earlier modules. Additional functions in this module include screening, assessment, and evaluation, and services and supports planning.
We look at service planning and talk about it in terms of its need to be comprehensive and strength-based, looking at it across all the life domains, and really moving away from a problem paradigm to an empowerment paradigm approach. We also, in the module, look at both a wraparound approach to service planning and then various types of family conferencing or team decision-making approaches that are used in child welfare, which we find is that from a value standpoint, they are pretty similar.
From a family perspective, especially around outreach and engagement and supporting families and youth through the care planning process, to be able to have, we talk about different examples about how family organizations or hiring family staff that can really help with information referral, had the past experience being successful and on the other side of that, able to help establish trust, giving examples like how in Vermont, in Rutland, they created under, when a family came in under an emergency petition, that there was a peer support person right there to help them. They were able to create a video in partnership with family court. The family got to have the video, learn the process, and really gain that peer support, which then made for a more successful relationship as that engaged back with their care and related plans. So we get into a lot of different examples of that and how families can really begin to play a role at all levels within this.
We also in this module talk about some of the states and communities that have begun to use common screening and assessment tools across systems like the Child and Adolescent Needs and Strengths Tools, CANS, and the critical role that certain stakeholders such as guardians ad litem, judges, and CASA volunteers play in service decision-making and the importance of including those constituents, those stakeholders, in system of care reforms. We also talk about the role of supervision and coaching in trying to shift child welfare's practice model to a family-centered practice model, which is essentially what we're talking about. Module 7, and then there's a second team meeting after this module that deals with a number of questions related to these functions. Module 7 has to do with service array and financing. We incorporate the service array framework that was developed by the National Resource Center on Organizational Improvement. I didn't know, Steve, whether you wanted to just interject a word or two about that framework here.
Sure, Sheila. Just let people know that if you go to our website and up nrcoi.org, and up in the right-hand column is a search engine, type in service array, and it will take you to a set of about 50 documents and tools that we've developed to help states and jurisdictions take a hard, hard look at their current service array, and then how to improve that service array.
Okay, great. We talk about the importance of having a broad array of services and supports, and again, return to the topic of evidence-based and effective practices for children and families involved in child welfare. Then we move to financing in this module, where we talk about not only major child welfare funding streams, but funding streams across the board for populations of children with special needs in the public sector, including Medicaid, and we talk about a number of the issues regarding use of Medicaid for families and children involved in child welfare. The importance of win-win financing scenarios when you're trying to get systems to better coordinate, if not pool or braid their financing, how you create win-win financing scenarios among child welfare, juvenile justice, Medicaid, education, mental health, etc. we talk about a number of the financing strategies for system reform, such as redirecting dollars from where you now may be providing or purchasing high costs and or poor outcomes, which often are associated with out-of-home placements, and different financing structures such as pooled and braided funding, and we give a number of examples of those. We talk about steps in approaching a strategic financing analysis, and then there is the third team meeting, which deals with the with both financing and the service array. We move in Module 8 to looking more closely at the provider network and integration of natural helpers into the provider network, and then purchasing and contracting arrangements. In systems of care, a part of the strategic framework we're trying to lay out in this training is that there are typically pros and cons associated with various structures that one puts in place or different approaches one takes. And throughout these modules, we try to give examples of different structural approaches and the pros and cons of those, so that people can think, because, you know, what might work in one community may not in another. So we talk about characteristics of effective provider networks, and Kathy, did you want to say about natural helpers?
Just, we do spend some time talking about natural helpers because we really recognize the importance of including natural helpers in a provider network. It's another way of being culturally and linguistically competent when you develop a service array that is really very community-based and grassroots. And increasingly, you know, we're seeing research that shows how effective the use of natural supports and social supports can be, such as decrease in social isolation. So we talk a lot about developing strong natural helping networks, which is also enlisting the entire community.
And on that note, we go into some examples of strategies that have emerged from the child welfare arena on incorporating better use of natural helpers, such as family-to-family, family finding, community partnerships in child welfare, et cetera, and some examples of those. Lisa, did you want to say a little bit also, we talk about families and youth as providers?
Right. Well, we get into a number of different emerging roles that, and we give examples of where families and youth are actually starting to do provision work with the population. And then I think key to that is when you're positioning, whether you're hiring them within a family advocacy organization or a foster parents association or adoptive family group or even within direct provider agencies. So then that gets us into some of the training and credentialing or supervision and boundaries or just even the collaboration within new work environments. So we really begin to explore those roles, how to implement them, and many times that's new to that service agency.
We finish this module by looking at different purchasing strategies and use of things like capitation and case rates, that is risk-based financing strategies, purchasing strategies, and how they play out in terms of children and families involved in child welfare through both Medicaid managed care arrangements and through use of case rates with child welfare financing. And then we have our fourth and I believe final team meeting around those functions before moving to Module 9, which has to do with care management, service coordination, utilization management, and quality management. We talk about how service coordination slash care management really falls along a continuum that not all children and families need or want, nor can states or counties afford to pay for an intensive level of care management with small ratios of care managers or to children and families, but that there are populations of children involved in child welfare and involved in other systems that do need that intensive level of effort. And we give examples of that, such as Nebraska's integrated care coordination units. We talk about utilization management. Oh, and by the way, going back to care management, we deliberately don't use terminology of case management because families have told us that they find that terminology off-putting, and we use the concept of care management or service coordination, and stress the importance of states and communities defining those terms themselves, because that has ramifications also for how you fund them, particularly through Medicaid. Utilization management, which is putting structures in place that tell you who's using services and how much service and what types of service and the value and outcomes associated with the use of those services. We talk about quality management structures, particularly continuous quality improvement, and how to use data that comes from utilization management and evaluation data to improve quality. We give examples of outcomes that states and communities are measuring that, again, are related to the Child and Family Services reviews, and typically are looking at outcomes both at a systems level, for example, reduced placements in out-of-home care or lengths of stay, increased permanency, et cetera, and at a child and at an individual child level, such as improvement in clinical and functional outcomes, and whether and families' experience of the system, whether they feel better able to handle challenging behaviors in children, whether they feel better able to function well as families, etc. We then move from 9, where we allow a large group discussion around a number of these things, around a number of these functions, to Module 10, which largely as a function of time, we're not allowed to spend, you know, we aren't able to spend a great deal of time on remaining functions such as human resource development, internal and external communication, protecting confidentiality, information management, technical assistance and training, which isn't to say these aren't important functions. They are very important functions. But with a two-day training, you can cover only so much, so we're trying to give people enough of a sense throughout the training of what these various functions are that you need to organize within systems of care, ways to kind of think about them from a strategic standpoint, and some examples from around the country that illustrate that. So that ends the formal modules, and then we have additional materials in the web-based resource, which a number of which we've already talked about, the case scenarios, the exercises, we have web links, et cetera. And one final thing that I'll say about training this, as you're thinking about how to use these materials, Kathy and Lisa and I did a train the trainers of a group of folks from the Children's Bureau resource centers and family partners. And we did that both to pilot the curriculum and also to begin to build a network of trainers that could train this. And we really encourage that it be trained as a partnership. When Kathy and Lisa and I do it, we train it together, the three of us, because we bring different skill sets and knowledge base. My work is typically around system design, financing, system organization, et cetera. And Kathy works more at a frontline practice level on changing the practice model, as well as bringing the very important cultural linguistic competence experience. And Lisa, of course, brings invaluable experience across all of the levels of system of care, policy management, and service delivery as a family member initially involved in many of these systems, and then over the years providing technical assistance on the development and growth of a family-run movement as partners in systems reform. So we would really encourage that as you think of how to train it, that you think of training it in partnership, and particularly including a family and or youth trainer. We've begun to train as well with youth as co-trainers, which again brings yet an additional important perspective. Mary, I think we've covered our basic overview of the training resource in our 25-minute time.
Yep. Sheila, this is Steve Priester, and I'll all I can say is wow. I hope the participants can see now the breadth and the depth of the information that's contained in this resource that the three of you worked on so hard, along with other partners. Let me just ask Melissa now to open up the so that the participants can ask any questions or make any comments they'd like on the content of this or the process of this resource.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press the 1 key on your touch-tone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself, please press the pound key. Once again, if you have a question at this time, please press the 1 key.
Melissa, did you say 1?
Yes, sir, the 1 key.
Okay. So if you want to make a comment or ask a question, please press 1 and do it now. We'll also have an opportunity near the end of the call to do this.
I'm showing no questions at this time, sir.
Okay. Well, then we're going to move on, and we can do this questions and comments later. I'm very happy now to ask Rebecca Huffman from North Carolina to talk about North Carolina's experience in child welfare and systems of care.
Okay. Thanks, Steve. If you have the slides in front of you, as we go along, I'll try to let you know what slide we're on, and if you don't, hopefully you won't need them for this to make sense. But I wanted to talk with you today about how we're building a system of care in North Carolina within child welfare. And just want to kind of start by saying it's an exciting time to be in child welfare in North Carolina. All 100 DSS agencies are on board with fully implementing the 7 strategies of our MRS reform. The Division of Social Services really has fully embraced a family-centered model of social work practice, and we've adopted the implementation of a system of care model of service delivery across child welfare. And I kind of want to frame my talk around 2 main points today. One, talking about blending a system of care approach with North Carolina's child welfare system reform efforts, and secondly, a little about our system of care grant that we received from the Children's Bureau and some of the work that's been done at both the state and local levels.
Rebecca, this is Steve. Could you tell people what you mean by MRS?
Oh, MRS is Multiple Response System Reform. It's North Carolina's child welfare system reform based on 7 key strategies and family-centered practice as a foundation. Did you want me to talk about the strategies or?
Are you going to cover them in your slides, if you're not, it probably would be good to
Okay. Yeah. Well, I don't have them in the slides, but I'll run through them here briefly. One strategy is strength-based structured intake process. Secondly is a choice of 2 approaches to reports of abuse, neglect, and dependency, a differential response to those reports. Third strategy is coordination between law enforcement agencies and child protection services for the investigative assessment approach, working more closely and in better coordination with law enforcement. A redesign of in-home services, and this means that families with the greatest needs would be provided the most intensive services and contact. The continuum of services working with families It allows the social workers to better address risk, support the family, engage them in the process to promote planning and achieve positive change. The next strategy is the implementation of child and family team meetings during the provision of in-home services, and that's sort of the hub of everything that we do here and sort of the center of our system of care movement as well. The implementation of shared parenting meetings in child placement cases. And the last one is better collaboration and work between Work First Family Assistance and our child welfare programs. So that's a down and dirty nutshell of the 7 strategies of MRS that we're implementing.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Certainly, no problem. What we've done is, in implementing these 7 strategies and principles of system of care, we've looked at our system literally from intake to adoption to infuse family-centered philosophy. We've rewritten policy that reflects changes in language to include system of care values and principles, and we're also really trying to strengthen social work practice expectations so that we can continue to shift our focus from doing things to and for families to truly working in partnership with them. We've developed our state's program improvement plan around system of care principles, and we're implementing numerous strategies that we think are going to help us to improve our system and, as a result, of course, improve our outcomes. We know we're not there yet in North Carolina, but we really feel like we're stepping in the right direction. If you can see slide 3, it takes a village. We all know that, you know, it's really true that it takes a village to raise a child, and no one agency can do it alone. We know that families are unique and distinctive, that one size does not fit all families, one size service or one type of service. We know that families are more likely to engage and carry out a plan that they feel they've truly taken a part in, and that's why child and family teams is sort of at the heart of everything that we do. We want and we don't want to be involved forever with cases that we can't seem to safely close, or we don't want to create a revolving door for families. So we know that we have to build a support network of extended family and community partners for those families when we're out of the picture. So to create a system that will allow us to do this, we've integrated the system of care principles into all aspects of our reform process by striving to serve children and families more effectively within the context of their home and community, by ensuring culturally competent practice, involving families in all aspects of designing, building, and sustaining the system of care, in tailoring services and supports to meet the needs of each child and family, addressing the strengths of children and their families in individualized and comprehensive plans of care, by ensuring interagency collaboration and developing methods of accountability. If you look at the next slide, you'll see that this is how we see our system now. And if you don't have the slide in front of you, it's sort of like a house analogy. And both family-centered practice and system of care principles are truly they're the foundation of child welfare practice in North Carolina, and they support multiple response implementation. You know, multiple response started as an internal DSS system reform, but adding a system of care approach at the sort of the framework for service delivery really takes MRS, our multiple response system reform, to the next level. On the next slide, a system of care approach really emphasizes organizing and coordinating services and resources through partnerships with all stakeholders. It stresses building on individual and community strengths and developing the family-centered practices of frontline service providers. So embracing a system of care approach was really the perfect next step for North Carolina child welfare. If you see the next slide, 6, on history, system of care has a history in North Carolina. In around 1994, there were some national mental health system of care grants through SAMHSA, and mental health did a very good job of implementing those grants, but it seemed as the grant dollars ran out in some areas, some of what the work they had done began to fall apart somewhat. And so we're working very closely with mental health. We're taking the lessons that they learned, and together we're trying to move system of care forward in North Carolina. Of course, that was a very mental health focused grant. And part of the battle that we fought in North Carolina and still fight today to some extent is that system of care is just a mental health initiative, which we know it's not. But in 2003, the Division of Social Services received a system of care grant from the Children's Bureau to expand system of care to other target populations, including families in the child welfare system. And here in North Carolina, we purposely chose 3 counties from rural and small to medium-sized county, rural-urban mix, to a large urban area, and of course they all had varying amounts of resources. All 3 of the counties that we chose were part of the 10 counties that were some of our initial MRS implementation county. So they already had a good foundation and had been had a lot of training around family-centered practice and so forth. It was very purposeful that we chose these three counties of varying sizes so that we're talking to new counties and talking about implementing a system of care, and they say, no, we can't do that. Our county's too small. We don't have the resources. We can say, you know, yes, you can, and you can talk to Bladen County. That's our small county, and they can help you with that. So each site hired a system of care coordinator and at least one family partner in each site, and a system of care coordinator was hired at the state level to oversee the grant development and deal with day-to-day issues. That was me at that point in time. If you go to the next slide, those are the system of care guiding principles and values, and these became our roadmap to develop a system of care model that could be replicated within other North Carolina counties that we hope would, or that we know will improve child welfare outcomes and support the successful implementation of our multiple response system. So it was easy for us to accept these as the foundation upon which we could improve child welfare outcomes, and it was also easy for us to understand how these principles, when shared by other child-serving agencies, can improve the efficiency and effectiveness of the services that are provided to families and the way those services are provided. So for us, it was not something new, and that's how we sort of marketed system of care. Not something new. It's just a framework for doing what we're already doing even better. If you look at slide 8, there are three critical levels of partnership in building a system of care, and that would be the state, the community, and family. It is a process, and it has to occur at those levels concurrently. Having identified leaders at each level is important, and having family members as partners is crucial. Accepting the guiding principles and developing a common vision is a critical first step, and then, of course, strategic planning, you know, naturally follows. Building a system of care takes a lot of strategic planning. You have to have all the partners at the table and make sure that key people are involved at each step. Planning took place in our state at the state level and the local level concurrently. It has to be a bottom-up and top-down sort of situation. We did this by, we formed several different planning groups. One of those groups was our grant site coordinators and the state coordinator along with the family partners. We also had an internal DSS planning team that included the state child welfare staff along with our county system care coordinators, evaluation staff, and family members. We had an external stakeholder group, which was our state collaborative, with which we planned across systems. And we also developed, within those three sites, local county collaborative planning groups. So we had a lot of different planning groups, and we did a lot of meeting. We met monthly as an internal group. We met quarterly with full state staff, and then we met twice monthly with our cross-agency group, our state collaborative. And then the county coordinators would meet once monthly with their local collaboratives. So you have to find your champions and bring them into the planning process. You have to make sure that family members and organizations are parts of your planning team. You can't leave them out and then bring them in later. They are very critical members of the team. You really need to use local resources and national TA resources, such as the National Resource Centers, and use resources that are available to you, like the primer and the excellent material that's in that. We based our strategic plan objectives on the system of care principles so that we've made sure that we kept them in the foreground at all times and really stayed focused on our goals and then created steps to reach each of them. And then finally, always thinking about sustainability from the very start and constantly planning on how you can work together to keep things going and and growing. And for every idea or activity, you know, we ask how can we fund this together so it can stay alive for next time that we want to do this. So on the next slide, state-level contributions really is more state-level commitments that NCDSS is making toward implementing a system of care, and these are just some of the things that we're doing. As we said, we are merging the multiple response system and system of care more completely. System of care values are part of the NCDSS mission and vision. We have incorporated system of care language into child welfare policy, which of course carries over into training. And we had multiple response MRS regional meetings, and those were sort of TA meetings that were held across our state in three different locations every month to help with the implementation of MRS, and those have now become MRS system of care meetings. So counties are receiving, you know, constant information and TA around developing systems of care. I already told you that the system of care principles are driving our program improvement plan. As a one of our strategies, we've made mandatory our child and family team training for all child welfare staff. We're also implementing mandatory cultural competency training. That'll probably start next year and will be for all child welfare staff. Right now we're doing, we've developed both a one-day and a two-day cultural competence training that we're providing upon request to counties. Also, there's guidance being given around engaging service providers that are using our children's program representatives. We have policy that requires family members to be involved in and compensated for attending meetings, being part of work groups, policy groups, and so forth. And we're excited about the use of family co-trainers. We're doing this right now in our training system, in our domestic violence curriculum, and also in our blended child and family team training that we do. Let's see. Also, TA from National Resource Centers are working to strategically plan with our child welfare supervisors to strengthen supervision at the local DSS. We know that's a critical element for practice change. And we also have a new position at the division called a special project coordinator, and part of that person's duty is to carry on and to work on caring system of care across our state. We do a lot of presentations. Anywhere people will let us talk, we're there at conferences, and we are doing now poverty simulations in different places, and of course making the system of care tied to that. We have a wide variety of audiences that we've presented to across the past few years. And we have continued strong ties to our state collaborative. And if you'll go to slide 11, the state collaborative is made up of state and local child serving agencies, community organizations, professional associations, private providers, advocacy groups, as well as members from some of the family organizations. And the collaborative is actually co-chaired by a university partner and a family partner, and it's to provide a forum for the discussion of issues regarding how agencies and families can work together to produce better outcomes for children and families. And it's a place where decision makers from agencies work collaboratively to better meet the needs of children and families. And it also helps provide support for local collaboratives and support for child and family teams. And in the list that, if you have the slides, you can see, the state collaborative is the division stakeholder group, and it does have family representation. They have had a lot of input into our program improvement plan. They're also our stakeholder group for our system of care grant, as well as some other things as well. Together, that state collaborative with all the main child-serving agencies in our state work together to come to a consensus on a child and family team definition, agreement on the importance of it, and a consensus around it. We worked for about 2 years to develop a cross-system child and family team curriculum with blended funds through the state collaborative. It took us 2 years to really come to agreement on what that curriculum should look like, and after all the agencies stepped back for a minute, we were able to see that the people who needed to be guiding this process were the family partners who were involved. So they actually had a lot of input into the development of this curriculum, and when it's trained across our state, it's trained with a family partner as a co-trainer. Through the state collaborative, we developed a website with blended funds. We're pretty proud of that. If you're interested in seeing it, you can go to www.nccollaborative.org, and it has all the information you ever want to know about the collaborative. We also formalized ourselves, I guess it was just last year, with a charter and a strategic plan, and we have been reviewing that strategic plan from time to time, and really I've been impressed with how we're really following through on that. We also have several cross-agency committees as part of the state collaborative, and two of them that I mentioned here are the Technical Assistance Committee and Membership Committee. This TA committee helps to give help, information, and training to the local collaborative group. We had a system of care conference last year, and we're planning to have that this year, again, through blended funds and with everyone working together through the state collaborative. We had about 350 people last year. That was the max that we could take. And so this year we're planning for it to be even bigger, so it'll be a statewide conference. We had people from all major agencies last year, family partners and community organizations.
Becca, this is Steve. I could just say a word about the State Collaborative for Children, Youth, and Families. This is an organization that I had the opportunity to work with, and I've never seen anything like it in any of the other states, because it is the collaborative body for all child-serving agencies. So that could be education, that could be health, it could be child welfare, it could be children's mental health, and so forth. So it's a unique body.
It really is. And it's been active for quite a while, and I'm always afraid, I guess, that the interest in it is going to wane, but so far it has not. They're a very active group, and we're happy to be a part of them. After that, you'll see a slide about local community collaborative groups, and those community collaboratives mirror the state collaborative at the local level, bringing together the people who drive, manage, and monitor the local system of care. And so each of our grant sites, site counties, has developed a local collaborative. The next slide is just a slide that we use when we're talking to communities about what a community collaborative should look like and the difference between and what can happen and what your outcomes can be between following services and using a system of care model. So I know I'm almost out of time here, and I want to get to the local system of care efforts. Some of the things that we've done at the local level, and this is in the three grant sites, we've hired system of care coordinators, of course, at DSS. It's great to have dedicated staff, people who just wake up every day focused on moving system of care forward. We have family partners at all three sites. The smallest site, Bladen County, actually has a family partner that, through blended funding between mental health and DSS, they have also developed our DSS SOC coordinators a strong relationship with our mental health system of care regional coordinators, and they work together to really move system care forward in these counties. It's been an exciting partnership. Again, system care can't be done alone, and we focus a lot on interagency collaboration. Cross-training at the county level is taking place all the time around child and family teams, around the system of care 101, family-centered practice, and they're really building some strong community training programs. They have a lot of community events, things like community fairs, using the poverty simulation to bring people together. We just did one recently in our smallest county, Bladen County. That was seemed to be a great event. They're building those local collaborative groups and structures and establishing care review teams in those local collaboratives as part of their ways of managing care in their community. And, of course, child and family teams, bringing people together to serve on child and family teams, to work with families, coordinate services, and do service planning. So System of Care in North Carolina, it is a work in progress. We know that we have a long ways to go with our system of care development, but we have come a long ways, too. We've learned a lot of lessons at both the state and the county level. We've learned and we continue to learn about how to partner with families better, with other agencies, and with communities for better outcomes. So continuous improvement is our goal at the Division of Social Services here in North Carolina, and we fully believe that implementing our multiple response using a system of care framework is really going to help us do just that. So thank you.
Rebecca, that was just great. Thank you so much for taking time to tell us North Carolina what you're doing in systems of care. Melissa, if you could open it up, let's see if anybody has any burning comments or questions that they would like to put to Rebecca.
Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press the 1 key on your touchtone telephone. Our first question comes from Debbie Bonwell. Your line is open.
Yes, this is Debbie Bonwell at Frederick County Department of Social Services in Winchester, Virginia. My question is for Rebecca Huffman. It's really two questions. What changes have you seen in child welfare outcomes in North Carolina since implementing system of care? And what communities or counties are considered most successful that we might be able to contact?
Well, I'll start with your second question first, I guess. I think either we have Mecklenburg County, that's the large county. Alamance County is our mid-sized county, and Bladen County is our smallest county. I would say probably either Alamance County or Mecklenburg County would probably be the best ones to contact to really, they have larger systems and could probably give you more information. And I could, you know, I'd be happy to give you the contact people there.
Rebecca, maybe you could get that information to Mary O'Brien, and she could put it on the website.
I will. I'll be happy to do that.
Sure. That's great.
And as far as the outcomes that we have in North Carolina, you know, we're still new in our development, but we're seeing a lot of things, especially coming from our child and family teams. And we have an evaluator on our grant, and that person is working with the evaluator on our multiple response system implementation as well. And they just did some report about some of the outcomes in North Carolina. And basically, well, I can tell you a few of the things that they said. Some of what families said were that more foster parents, relatives, and service providers were attending child and family teams in system of care counties, and that in the system of care counties, more families felt that they had a say in who came to the CFT, more were encouraged by their social workers to bring their support, more felt that the purpose of the CFT meeting was clearly explained. In those counties also, community partners were more aware of MRS practice and policy changes. More community partners and community supports, you know, were coming to the table around CFTs, which was a real problem for us at one time. Social workers tend to exhibit more positive attitudes, and the agencies had stronger collaborative relationships with community partners. I don't know if those are the kind of outcomes that you're looking for, but that's what we know from our data so far.
Rebecca, let me, this is Steve, let me add something too, in that in 2007, North Carolina began its second Child and Family Services review. The on-site review was a little more than a year ago, and there were significant improvements in the outcomes in North Carolina, as found out in the review. And from my perspective, a lot of those improvements had to do with the system of care approach and values that are increasingly statewide across the child welfare system.
And that is true. And in Mecklenburg County, system of care was really named as a real asset, a real positive.
Other questions or comments?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press the 1 key on your touch-tone telephone. No, sir, I'm still showing no questions.
Okay, then we'll have a chance before we end to ask questions or make comments to any of the presenters on this call. Now, and what I thought I would do to close up the content of this teleconference would be two things. Number one, I'd like to spend some time on the steps to building a system of care, and then secondly, talk about the technical assistance that's available to states and tribes and other jurisdictions that are interested in implementing a system of care. And the reason I'm going to start first with the steps is because that's one area in that we can, National Resource Centers can provide some technical assistance. So let me just say also that in the upcoming issue of the National Resource Center for Organizational Improvement's newsletter, Child Welfare Matters, that will be on systems of care, these steps are discussed in a little more detail than I'm going to cover. But the first, we're proposing, and it's arbitrary, but six steps jurisdictions can go through to create a system of care. And the first step is really defining the population that the state or the jurisdiction wants to focus on in creating the system of care, wrapping around the services and supports around that specific population. Now, it's been my hope in this second round of Child and Family Services reviews that as states find out that they're not doing well and not getting good outcomes with a specific population, that states might want to build into their program improvement plan creating a system of care around that population. It could be, for example, children in the system who are aging out and we're not getting the outcomes we want with those kids. Or it could be a number of states have had a lot of kids with another permanent living arrangement as their permanency goal, which is really not acceptable. So maybe it would be working with those kids. Or maybe the state is really not getting good outcomes in permanency, so maybe it's going to be the foster care kids. But begin by defining which population and child welfare you want to begin with. The second step is also critical, and that's forming that community collaborative in the jurisdiction, convening all the stakeholders, traditional and non-traditional, bringing the whole community together and in engaging those stakeholders to create the system of care and saying, the agency cannot do this by itself. It's got to be the entire community to achieve these better outcomes. The third is then adopting values, using that community collaborative, those stakeholders, to really hammer out what are the values and principles that are going to guide how this community collaborative works and creates a system of care. And those values and principles really have to be used as evaluative for everything that the collaborative and the system of care does. Once those values are identified and adopted, we move to the fourth step, which is to create the structures that are needed to provide integrated services and supports. The fifth step is building services and supports, using the collaborative to create a network of traditional and non-traditional community-based services and supports that will be that will surround the population that was chosen. And then finally, the last step is forming the collaborative structures to oversee the system of care so that we've got the structure that will really help integrate all the services into a system of care. Now, I cover those because really the Children's Bureau has a national training and technical assistance network, and that consists of the 8 national resource centers that you probably know a bit about, and then a bunch of other organizations like the Georgetown Center that Sheila mentioned earlier, maybe 20 additional organizations are part of that network. And we can use that network to pull together a team of people that will be created to meet the specific needs of the state of the jurisdiction that wants help in creating and sustaining a system of care. And so, you know, just by way of example, let's say that the state, the jurisdiction wants to create a system of care around youth aging out of the system. So part of that team is going to part of the team will include the Youth Development National Resource Center, because they're the people that really have the expertise on that population. But we can create a team to come in and help with any stage of the steps in that you go through to build a system of care. Let me just give a few examples of other kinds of things that can be provided. Let's say the state as a whole is interested in looking at systems of care. Well, if you convened your internal and external stakeholders, we could pull a team together to come in and do the overview that Sheila and Kathy and Lisa were talking about, where you would really orient the internal external stakeholders to the whole picture of a system of care. Or if you needed training and technical assistance around any of the issues that Sheila and Kathy and Lisa talked about, I mean, maybe you're at the point where you really need to focus on governance and systems management. Well, we could pull a team to come in and do training and then do technical assistance in implementing. Or let's say you have a work group that is already working on governance. Well, you could take the module on the web-based resource, Module 5, and the work group members could use that as a resource to help them think through the issues and then to request technical assistance. Just again to repeat so that you know how to access technical assistance from any of the national resource centers or from the network. What happens is if it's a county, for example, they've got to go through their state, and then the state office, the state child welfare office, has to go to the federal regional office to get approval. But it really, it's not a complex process. It's not a bureaucratic process, and the National Resource Center is really, I mean, that's the purpose of why they exist, is to come on site and help. Let me just ask Mary and Sheila and Rebecca and Kathy and Lisa, if you have other ideas that we could throw out here about the kinds of TNTA that the jurisdictions might be interested in.
Well, another possibility, this is Sheila, Steve, is for folks just to familiarize themselves with the materials on the website which could support their doing their own technical assistance internally, in effect, if there's a group of folks within the state or county or counties that understand system of care, are looking for some, you know, teaching or training materials to work with others around. That's one possibility. And also there are lots of examples in those materials, so drawing on peer TA is another, you know, another possibility in addition to using national resources. I also just wanted to mention the national training institutes that are coming up in Nashville in July that Georgetown is sponsoring, because there is a major track at those training institutes on systems of care and child welfare, and the institutes provide a lot of in-depth time to really focus on a number of kind of operational and strategic issues. Those are in Nashville in mid-July. I'm assuming that's probably on your website somewhere too, right?
I don't know if it's on our website or not, Sheila, but it certainly is on the Georgetown website.
Right.
That's very helpful, Sheila. Any of the other panelists have any TA ideas that you want to share with the participants? Okay, if not, then Melissa, I'm going to ask one more time for you to let the participants have the opportunity to ask questions or make comments on anything they heard here today. And then before we go, we need to turn this back to Mary O'Brien.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, if you have a question at this time, please press the 1 key on your touch-tone telephone. And I'm showing no questions, sir.
Okay, well, let's go back to Mary. Mary, you can sort of maybe talk to us about things like filling out evaluation forms and upcoming teleconferences, whatever else you want to cover.
Thank you. Sure, Steve. This is Mary O'Brien from the Resource Center for Organizational Improvement. We would like to encourage people to fill in the evaluation form for today's teleconference. We're always interested in your feedback about what was helpful and what we could do better. So this is an online evaluation form. The email that you got with the number to call in has a link to click on, and you'll probably have an email today as well. Where you could just click on that link and give us some feedback in evaluation, that would be great. We also record these calls, and the audio file for today's call will be posted up on our website, right where all the other handout material is, probably within the next day. So if you feel like there's a part you'd like to go back and listen to again, or somebody who might like to hear this who wasn't able to be here, they can just listen to the audio file on our website. Let's see, Steve, we have a few more minutes. I don't know if we have any other questions or comments out there. You know, the agenda for today's call does have, contact information for everyone if you'd like to follow up with any of us, any of the people that spoke. We will get that information on contact information for the North Carolina counties for the person who asked from Virginia. And maybe the best way to do that is we'll send out an email to everyone who's registered for today's call with that follow-up information about how to contact the counties in North Carolina.
Mary, let me also add and encourage the participants that are interested in systems of care. Our next teleconference is on June 17th, and it is going to be on enhancing the service array in child welfare. At same time, same station.
Right. Exactly. You can register for that at our website, too, to get the email with the call-in information. Great. So, Melissa, let's see, do we have any more? We don't have anybody. Anybody who wants to say anything before we go can press 1 on their phones before we wrap it up here.
No, ma'am, I'm showing no questions.
Okay. So, Steve, you think
Mary, we just want to thank you all for the opportunity to work with you on this.
Absolutely, yes, and I want to say thank you to everyone for participating in today's call. To Sheila, thank you to you and to Kathy Lazare and Lisa Conlin for talking about the primer resource, and Rebecca Huffman from North Carolina, thank you very much for being here and sharing your experience with us. And thank you, everyone, for listening, too, and we hope that you'll follow up and consider this important strategy and continue to engage in conversations with us and using some of these resources that we've talked about. Thank you very much for coming, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This does conclude your conference for today. You may now all disconnect. Thank you and have a great day.